Blog Talk Radio.
You are Elohim, 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 Elohim. You are a supreme one. Elohim, 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 Elohim. Elohim, Elohim, oh, Elohim, Elohim, my Elohim. Extraordinary strategies, impossibilities, destiny. The God of all flesh, nothing is impossible with you. Kalabakataya. You were. You cannot be impeached. There is no impeachment with you. You alone stand as God forever. You are the Supreme. I don't care what you think you are going through. The Bible says, at the mention of the name of Jesus, Elohim, all things in heaven and on earth bow. Including the situation you feel you are going through. Including the hard times. Including the barrenness. Including the sickness. They must bow. At the mention of Elohim. They must bow. At the mention of come and speak over that situation. Elohim will answer. Elohim will answer.
Jesus, Elohim, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, we glorify you. Lord Jesus, thank you, hallelujah. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this evening, oh Father God, hallelujah, in the precious name of Jesus, hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of your host, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, on Sunday evening, we are doing the Bible mystery. Names and titles of God. Today we're dealing with the name Elohim. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors and call us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. And if you get the answer correctly for the questions that we have, and the question is, what does Elohim mean? What does Elohim mean? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And the last song, it gave you a definition of what Elohim meant. Glory. Where can we find it in the Bible? Genesis, Exodus, 1 Samuel, and Psalms. Why was God called Elohim? Because God demonstrated his might and power. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So what does Elohim mean? When you call Blog Talk Radio and you get the correct answer, and this is your first time calling, the church will mail you out a beautiful pamphlet, colorful accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priests. The tabernacle, also known as the Tent of Meetings, also known as the Tabernacle of the Congregation. It was a temporary shelter. When the cloud by day moved, they would take down the Tent of Meetings and they would follow the cloud. When the cloud stopped, they would rebuild the tent and they'll continue the services there. Glory be to the Lord. And I would encourage you to keep one together with your Bible. So when you go to these places where you're waiting to be called, you could take it out and study the tabernacle and get to know what the tabernacle is all about. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the New Testament, Paul writes, he says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So at one time, God would minister to them from the mercy seat. Now in these days, because he's given us his Holy Spirit, the mercy seat, the Holy Spirit, the throne of God is within man. The kingdom of God is within man, Jesus said. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. If this is your second or more time calling, then you'll get a beautiful breakdown of the Our Father prayer. Each prayer, we break it down from Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. So we have the Our Father prayers called the 12 rooms of your personal house of prayer. You got 12 rooms. Each of them has a title in it, and it has colors of the Messiah. So this will help you out to understand what the Our Father is more about. It gives you something to study, and it gives you something to look at. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So a little bit of the itinerary of the church, and that is that every Sunday at 7 o'clock, we have the Bible mystery from 7 to 8 o'clock, and we have a question. Usually the first question, what does it mean? Today is Elohim. What does Elohim mean? And they would go on and explain that. It would go on and explain where we could find it and why was God called Elohim. It's very interesting because when you look at the Bible, many times you read the English translation and they'll write down in the English translation what the name meant, but only certain study Bibles have on the side. What is it meant? How is it used? Where else is found? And you can learn a lot from it. Glory be to the Lord. On Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, we have our intercessory prayer. We have subtopics. So when you call in, we'll divvy up the things that we have to pray for. Glory be to the Lord. The first thing we always pray for is the peace of Jerusalem, as commanded in Psalms 122:6. Glory be to the Lord. Especially now we see how the Hamas is fighting Israel and Iran. And so God, we believe God sent his angel, Michael, to fight for Israel. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. On Thursdays, we have our Bible study. And the main subject there is what's next? What do we expect next? Well, we've been looking at what's next. We've been looking at the rapture. or the second coming of Christ. And that's divided into two phases. Phase number one is the rapture. And we went through that 6 episodes. And this Thursday, we're going to start with the return. 6 episodes as well. The return of Jesus Christ. The rapture, when the church is called up, meets Christ in the air. In the return, when he comes to rescue Israel, when he comes to fight the enemy, he stands on Mount Olivet. So there's a difference there. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. In the rapture, the church is called up. And in the return, the church comes back with Jesus as the army of heaven. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A little disclaimer, that is that the songs that we play on this program, they do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to the church, the Way, Truth, and Life Tabernacle. And they do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sang it or produced the song. So we thank the Lord. But because we bought the albums or the DVDs or the CDs in it, we have permission to copy their songs. So we use the songs here on this radio program what is appropriate to go with the show. Glory. Today was Elohim, and we had a song, Elohim. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let me ask you a question. What does Elohim mean? If you listen to the song, in it, it told you what it meant. Hallelujah. But if you don't know, then it's a good study item for you to go out, look up the Bible dictionaries, look up the concordances, look up other Bibles. I would not recommend the NIV. There's other Bibles I don't recommend because they change the word of God or they delete some words. And we are told, we are admonished in the Bible not to add or take away from the Bible and not to change the context. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. What does Elohim mean? Hallelujah. It appears 2,750 times in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. This word Elohim. Where can we find it? Well, we find it in Genesis, and first in Exodus. We find it in 1 Samuel. We find it in Psalms and some other books as well. Why was God called Elohim? God was called Elohim because he demonstrated his power and might, or might and power. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just read to you. In the very beginning of the Jewish Bible and of our Bible, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That word God is Elohim. So let's reread it the way it's written originally. It says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now, Elohim is a word. When you study it, when you look it up, it's a plural word. First of all, in the Jewish language, you have singular words, which is like El. The singular of Elohim is El, E-L, like El Shaddai, things like that. El Elyon, E-L. When you read the names of Elijah, it's singular. Elijah. Well, Eli, E-L, is God, that's singular, and Jah is the name of God also, Jehovah. Hallelujah. Or Samuel, E-L at the end. Samuel, E-L at the end, that's singular. Then you have what they call dual. Dual, more than one, dual. So when in the Jewish language, when you are denoting more than one, is a dual word that you use. But Elohim is a plural word. meaning more than two. And you might say, but wait a minute, the Jews don't believe in the Trinity, but they have it in their own words. When they mention Elohim, that's a plural word. Anytime you see I am at the end of any word, it's plural, makes it plural in the Jewish language. So when you read, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. In the Tanakh, that I have one in front of me, or the Torah, which is the first five books of Moses, that line, that first line, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. In the Jewish language, the way it's written, they have a word that is spelled by two letters, Aleph and Tav, and they don't know why that's there. But if you go back and you look at the pictogram of Aleph, it talks about a strong one, the father, the head, or an ox. Then you have Tav, which is the last letter or the 22nd letter of the Jewish alphabet. And that's represented in the pictogram by a cross. So we see that even in the Jewish alphabet, they begin with Aleph, meaning that they began with a ox sacrifice. But at the end, the Messiah gave his life for our life. He laid it down and took it up. Tav is represented by a cross. So when you read in the Jewish language, that first verse, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, and the Tanakh, they have Aleph and Tav together, but they don't know what to make out of it. Well, what to make out of it is Aleph and Tav actually is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ created everything. God created everything by Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. If you remember, Scripture says in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You have to remember what the Scripture says. When the Scripture pronounces this, it tells us right there, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, Elohim. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Elohim, and the Word was with God. The Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. In him was life. L'chaim, and the life was the light of man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we see that from the very beginning, Christ created the heavens and the earth. The word of God spoken was Jesus Christ. And this is where people have to understand why God, through Moses, uses the word Elohim in the very beginning. He just didn't put it there for a chance. And let's see what you make out of it. Nope. He puts it there because there's a purpose. He wants us to understand Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all created the heavens and the earth. The second verse says, and the earth was void and without form. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So you have Aleph, God, in the beginning, Elohim. So you have God the Father, then you have Tav, you have Aleph and Tav together, that's Jesus Christ, and then you got the Holy Spirit. So the word Elohim is plural, indicating all three were there at the creations. Hallelujah. And we want to thank God because even some of the hosts of heaven was there, and they witnessed it. When you read Job, when you read Psalms, the sons of God were there when God created the heavens and the earth, when he created Adam and Eve. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why? What does Elohim mean? What does Elohim mean? Let me read you a little excerpt before we go on talking about Elohim. Every name of God highlights one aspect of his character. There is only one God, but the Bible writers refer to this one God with many names. One of these names is Elohim. Elohim is one of the most frequently used names for God in Scripture. It is this word which is used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. In fact, the word appears 2,750 times in the Old Testament. Elohim is not only used of the one true God, but it is also used on occasion to refer to human rulers, judges, and even angels. If you saw one exhibiting supreme rule and express mighty power, the word you would use will be Elohim. That does not necessarily mean that you are referring to the one unique God. But even as one comes to understand Yahweh, you might still grab hold of this particular word, Elohim, in order to emphasize God's power and might. This is an imperfect illustration of the relationship between Elohim and Yahweh, but perhaps it will capture enough of the thought to be helpful. If a small child sees a furry animal, he may very well refer to it as a puppy dog. But as he matures, he's able to clearly differentiate between a puppy dog and a kitten. Further, maturity might have the child now calling the dog a specific breed, like a beagle. And if the puppy comes to live in the child's home, what once was puppy dog will now become my beagle. In the same way, a person might see a powerful expression and say Elohim. As his knowledge of truth matures, Elohim might take upon specific character, El Shaddai. And if that knowledge moves into a relationship, Elohim is now identified as Yahweh. So, just as one child might refer to a kitten as a puppy and another refer to his beagle as a puppy, so also one might refer to the candidates as Elohim and another who has fully knowledge of Yahweh to refer to him as Elohim. Elohim, Eli, in plural. We often see the personal character of Elohim when it's shortened to El and then coupled with another word. Though some scholars question whether this is simply shortening, several names of popular Old Testament characters have El in their name, like Elijah, El is Yahweh, and Samuel, heard by El, are two such examples. When you remember the story about Elijah and Samuel, you see the importance a name had in the Old Testament. Elijah is known as the prophet who was steadfast in proclaiming that Yahweh was the only true Elohim. Even the name means Prince of El. Another interesting aspect of the name Elohim is that it is in fact a plural. Does this mean this is a clear reference to the Trinity? While that cannot be disproven, it also could not be proven from the plurality. Many scholars refer to this as a divine plural. I, however, agree with John Frame that this is a plural of obstruction. That is, a more or less intensive focusing of the character inherent in the idea of a stem, rendering in English by forms in Hood, Hebrew uses the plural form for abstract nouns such as youth, old age, maidhood, and life. It may also, or alternatively, carry some force as a plural form of application, usually found in poetry. This plural is an emphatic statement of the root idea as might and counsel. Jesus makes an interesting argument on this point in John 10:34, when he quotes Psalms 82:6. He argues that the scriptures themselves refer to other than God himself. How then can Jesus be accused of blasphemy because he claims to be God's son? I appreciate these words from D.A. Carson. In the heat of their opposition to what they hear Jesus to be saying, they are partially right. He does not make himself equal with God, partly wrong. This fact does not establish a completing of God. And profoundly mistaken, they have not grasped the drift of their own scriptures to see how he fulfills them. Nor have they known God well enough to perceive that the revelation he is and brings is in continuity with the capstone of the revelation of God's already provided. Elohim in Scripture. While the use of Elohim in Scripture is only found in Hebrew translations, below are some of the most reference English versions of Bible verses that uses this name for God. In the beginning, God, or Elohim, created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Then Elohim, God, said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move around the ground." Genesis 1:26. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Elohim, the Lord is one." Deuteronomy 6:4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim." John 1:1. "I will proclaim the Lord's Elohim's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" Psalms 2:7. "No one has ever seen Elohim, but the one and only Son, who is himself Elohim and is in the closet relationship with the Father, has made him known." John 1:18. "Yet for us there is one Elohim, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist." 1 Corinthians 8:6. Expressing Elohim in nature. God is great and powerful. He is the epitome of might and power. This is why Paul says what he does in Romans 1:20. "For since the creation of the world, Elohim's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." If this verse were in Hebrew instead of Greek, we can be almost certainly that the word translated God in the sentence would be Elohim. As noted above, this is the word which is most frequently used when referring to God's dealing with creation in general or with the nations of the world apart from his covenant with Israel. When you have first encounter with God, Elohim, through his power displayed nature, you will likely gravitate towards an Elohim concept. This is why Elohim and not Yahweh is prominent in books like Daniel and Jonah and even the first two chapters of Genesis. It's only after God further reveals himself that one will understand him to be Yahweh. Simply knowing that there is a higher power, an Elohim, means that one has merely risen to the faith of demons, James 2:19. It is only when we move from elementary knowledge of God as creator that we embrace God as Father, making Elohim personal today. God has created you. He is the Elohim above all other Elohim. Yet, acknowledging this is not enough. According to scriptures, everyone knows there is a higher power. We suppress that truth in our unrighteousness. This means we morph or Elohim, we morph our Elohim impulsive into worship of some lesser God, or we slip into vague notion of higher power, or perhaps we continue in even greater suppression and fail to acknowledge any concept of Elohim, choosing instead to place ourselves as the mighty one. We make ourselves arbiters of truth. In reality, a man drowning in 10 feet of water isn't in much better shape than a man drowning in 100 feet of water. Likewise, acknowledging the existence of Elohim doesn't put you in a position any better than anyone who actively and aggressively denies the concept of God. It is only when our knowledge of Elohim becomes personal that we move towards what the Bible calls saving faith. From Genesis onward, we see God progressively revealing himself to humanity. While he places himself in covenant with his creation as their Elohim, he enters into a special relationship and covenant with Abraham. This covenantal promises, Genesis 12, find their climax and fulfillment in God's supreme revelation, namely Jesus Christ. It is here that we move from vague understanding of Elohim into a covenantal and relational knowledge of God. Help me, O Yahweh, my Elohim. Save me because of your mercy. Psalms 109:26. Such a prayer is a reflection of a saving understanding of Elohim. How do you know this God? Do you know him simply as a mighty one or higher power, or can you say, my Lord and my God, like Thomas? Mika Leek is the lead pastor of the FBC Marinville in Marinville, Missouri. He is currently pursuing his Master's Divinity at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Mark is married to Nikki. So we want to praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to keep giving part of the of his story. So what I want to go back now, I want you to think about what we just read, what we just heard and study. What does Elohim mean? What does it mean to you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. What does Elohim mean? Now remember, Elohim is a plural word. But what does Elohim mean? We can find it where we can find it in Genesis, Exodus, 1 Samuel, Psalms, hallelujah. Why was God called Elohim? Because God demonstrated his might and power. Hallelujah. So what does Elohim mean? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That I will give you the answer to. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. As we continue, as you study, what I want to share with you is that next Sunday, we're going to be looking at a different word. Now, this word might be different because it has been shown in our English Bible, but it's there in the Jewish Bible. And the way it's pronounced is Quana, Q-A-N-N-A. What does Quana mean? That's the next name of God that we're going to be looking at, Quana, for next Sunday. Now, that's why in Philippians chapter 2, it says God has given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Adonai, to the glory of God the Father. Adonai, Master, Lord. Hallelujah. You could also replace it, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. He is Elohim through the glory of God the Father. What I want you to keep in mind as you study and you're looking up Elohim or you're looking up Quantum for next week, I want you to pray like Nehemiah. Pray without ceasing, Paul says. Continue to pray. Prayer is your communication with God. And please don't treat it like your telephone where you're speaking and you hang up. No. You pray, you're speaking, and then you just wait for God to answer you. He will answer you. He will give you an answer to the questions you have. He will talk to you because God loves you very much. So don't hang up on God. Don't say your prayers and then leave it, say amen and that's it. Don't do that. That's not right. You wouldn't like it if somebody did that to you. Don't do it to God. God loves you very much. And he wants to talk to you. And he wants to relate things with you. He wants to share things with you. You are his beloved. You are blessed. Glory be. So be obedient like Daniel. Remember Daniel? Him and the three Jewish boys. They remember the law. They remember God's word. They did not sit down and eat at the king's table. They went and they prayed. They did not bow down to the image. So the three Jewish boys were cast into the fire. But Christ delivered them. Daniel prayed and he did not bow down to the image. He was cast into with the lion's den. But God held back the lions and Daniel came out delivered from that situation. Hallelujah. And as you pray and as you seek God for strength, you want to help somebody else. Be a leader like Moses. You know, Moses saw where God was taking them. Moses was there